Boom goes the dynamite. Here we go. Leafs go 3-0. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But this is the Leafs Weekender. Perfect week for the Maple Leafs, even without Mojo Morgan Riley. Fired up, ladies and gentlemen. Riding with my guys, as always, Mr. Clark Monroe. Check him out at Clark Monroe. See the handle there. Mr. D434 over on the X Twitter machine. Get there. But one thing you don't want to do, even though I got a bad salad going right now, you don't want to take somebody else's hat. If you're at a hockey game and your favorite player or any player for your favorite team scores a bloody hat trick, don't reach in front of you and grab the old man's cowboy hat and toss it on the ice. Be respectful. Cheer the hell out of it. Whatever you need to do. But do not turn yourself into some social media little meme for 15 minutes of fame. Because then, when it all goes away, you just look like an arsehole. So don't touch people's hats. Boys, what do you think of that? How ridiculous, grabbing somebody else's lid and tossing it. I'd be pissed. I'd be throwing punches.
Quick story for you, James. I was at an Austin Matthews hat trick game. You were. And I was wearing a hat, and I left with the hat. But my nephew, Jackson, I hope I'm not calling him out here too hard, but he tried to grab my hat as a joke. Now, he would never actually have grabbed it off my head and thrown it, but he tried, and I was like, hey, don't even think about it. Because I was like, I've had this hat for too long. It's not a junk hat. I'm not getting rid of this hat, especially from we were up in the nosebleeds. I'm like, the fact that you're going to throw it and it's probably not even going to get anywhere, like, there's just no chance. So,
he ultimately frisbees it and makes it.
That would have been something else. I mean, it's a pro fit hat, so it probably actually would have traveled pretty well. It's a fitted hat, so there's no air pockets in it. It would have floated pretty nicely, but at the same time, I was like, there's no way you're throwing this hat. I'm too much of a hat guy to throw this hat. Actually, here's a fun story. Like, here's a fun question for everybody. Would you throw your hat if you were at a hat trick game? Because I don't think I would. Like, I'm too much of a hat guy to get rid of my hats, and I would lose it, and then you don't know what you're going to do. So I probably wouldn't. I was
going to say this. I don't know if it's a rule that I have or what, but I will not throw my hat. I spend $40+ on each and every hat that I have.
Yeah. If
it's one that I won from something, sure, I'll throw it or whatever. Like, that would be the hat that I throw. I would not throw this any hat. I wouldn't throw this hat. And plus, my salad is not what I want it to look like. So
yeah, I get really bad hat hair too. Like, I get really bad hat hair. So if I'm like two periods into a game or something and then I'm throwing a hat, my hair looks garbage the rest of the night. I'm not doing it. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Listen, I will tell you right now, I bring an extra hat. So I do. And there's an extra hat at hand. And I do have one sitting right beside me right here that I did bring when we went and seen John Tavares in his debut game for the Maple Leafs. I was hoping there would be one so I could throw that hat, still keep mine on my head, but throw the other one that we have at hand. So I come That's prepared, fair. Ladies and gentlemen.
I know some people who do go to a game, and like, maybe if they're only going to a couple a year, they'll buy like a cheaper hat at the store before the game starts so that there is something that they can throw. But
yep.
Like, my Leafs hat, which is hanging up right now in my room, like, I don't have it with me on hand, but like, I've had that for a few years. It's my lucky hat. Like, I'm not throwing that thing. I'm just not. So no. Sorry.
I get it. And that guy who had his hat thrown on the ice by this gentleman who grabbed it and threw it, that could have been a hat that's sentimental. It looked old and kind of young.
That hat looked old. That hat could have been 20 years old. And goddamn, I would be freaking angry.
I'm sure that they got the hat back to that gentleman. But the other thing that happened last night was Ty Domi went into enforcer mode last night. Richie over on Twitter, go check it out. You can just search up Richie and Domi and it'll come up. Gentleman who got his book signed by Ty Domi thought he'd make a funny tweet. Hey, this guy steals your seat. What do you do? It's the screen grab from the game when they showed Ty Domi. Ty Domi didn't realize this and went into action calling the guy a clown and basically saying, you know, you're full of shit. I'm not sitting in your seat. Something's in your $30 beer. Later on, Ty Domi realized that he was, you know, not serious. And this was not a serious thing and joked around with him. I actually remembered the guy from the book signing in Barry. But it's funny just how those wires for him still cross pretty quick. He was ready to mix it up, and he really went in on the tweet there, obviously. But still funny to see Ty just hit that. Something that did hit, ladies and gentlemen, all hail. We're not worthy. 3-0, Clark Monroe. He said it was going to be either 3-0 or heads or something would roll. The hockey god said, sir, allow us to bless you with not only 3-0, but how about a bunch of hat tricks as well? You can have it all, Clark, and eat your cake as well. How do you feel, Clark Monroe? I'm going to let you have the floor here. 3-0 for your Maple Leafs. You took it. You said that's what it was going to be, and the boys delivered for you. What speech did you deliver? You know, what did you tell the guys starting this week off? Obviously, they listened to Offside because they got the job done.
Well, they listened to Offside because Bobby McMahon got 5 goals. And I was calling out Bobby McMahon.
You never know.
You never know, really. But, you know, here's the thing is that I didn't say they're going to go 3-0 because I think they are good enough to win these games. They were clearly good enough to win those games. Those were, I mean, they were inferior opponents. They should have won all those games. Philadelphia, yeah, obviously, you know, put up a good fight. And James, you nailed that one. Speaking of nailing stuff, you nailed that one.
That was cool.
However, they needed to win all three of those games. And the reason I said they were going to win all three of those games was less because they were going to win and more because if they didn't win those games, people's jobs were going to be on the line. And I personally felt that bubbling up over the last little while is that these inferior opponents, these games, especially after that Ottawa game not that long ago, like things like games like that cannot be losses. Those have to be wins. And this is the time of the season where every 2 points matters. Even a point in overtime matters at this point. And they've consistently this year, you look at Chicago, you look at Ottawa, you look at some other teams, they've lost to these teams. And so this is a stretch of games they needed to win because they have St. Louis coming up, they have Arizona coming up, but then it's Vegas, Colorado, Vegas. We talked about this last episode, among other teams coming up down the stretch that are tough. And these are must-win games, in my opinion, and they've shown very, very well, I think, in all three of the ones this week. And that just makes me feel pretty good going into this next week, which is going to be a lot tougher.
Dilly, what do you think the week that was for the Maple Leafs?
I mean, it was, like Clark said, they were games that they should have won. And I agree with him with the fact that, like, if they didn't win them, some jobs might have been in jeopardy. Solid games. Certain players showed up when it meant the most. We got some depth scoring and overall great performance while Mo was out of the lineup.
Definitely was a great performance. A lot of guys stepping up, and we'll talk about some of those guys coming up down here on the old sandwich board. But for me this week, the things that mattered the most, the things that I watched for this team, the faceoff dot. They led each and every game this week. They did not allow the opponent to beat them on the faceoff dot. Over 50% in every single game. They were perfect pretty much when it came to the power play. They allowed 2 power play goals all week. That was it on 8 chances, so not so shabby there, especially for a team that's been kind of weak on the penalty kill this season. We'll call it what it is. The thing that does concern me, boys, this week, I know the wins are great. We love that, but we got to look at things that are problematic, especially, Clark, to touch on your point. With teams that are going to be good, they will make you pay on this stat. The Leafs had more giveaways against these teams than they did for the takeaway side of it. You look at it. The giveaways, 8 against the St. Louis Blues. You go 10 giveaways against the Philadelphia Flyers, and then you had 9 against the Anaheim Ducks. These are inferior teams stat-wise. Teams that you should beat. Now, if you have those giveaways against teams like Vegas and Colorado, they make you pay. We watched what Colorado did to the Leafs when the Leafs had a nice, juicy lead. The giveaways and careless plays, Colorado said thank you very much, gobbled those up, and turned it into a lead themselves. So that is one thing I want to see them tighten up. And I know, folks, that we're dealing with a battered blue line right now and a forward group that is sick and not 100%, and I know we are winning. So, yes, I'm nitpicking a small stat. But this is something that can really hurt you against the good teams because good teams know how to capitalize on those things. But 3-0, we'll friggin' take it. We'll love it every single day. And, yeah, Clark, it was very fun to talk with Anthony and be like, yeah, it's going to be a 3-3 OT game, and whoever wins.
Well, I feel like that's the perfect example, though, James, of what you just said. The Leafs had a 3-1 lead in that game, and they looked really good. And I was looking on Twitter after Matthews got his hat trick, and the most of the tweets that I saw that were about the game were, please don't screw this game up. Please don't lose this game in the third period. Please don't make mistakes and screw this game up, because Austin Matthews can't lose on a hat trick. Like, we can't lose on an Austin Matthews hat trick. And they almost did. And obviously they didn't. Obviously, thankfully, their overtime was solid and they were able to finish that one pretty quick. But that's exactly what you're saying, James, is that, you know, a good team, Philadelphia, I'll consider them a decent team. They're at least average, or at least they're middle of the pack this season, if not better. Just given their spot in the standings anyways. But that's a team that is good enough that if you do make mistakes, they will capitalize and come back on you, like the Flyers did in that game. And obviously the lead was too big, but even you saw it sometimes against Anaheim. Like, they scored a couple goals in the third. I know one was taken back, but they scored a couple of goals, and that was, those goals came off of sloppy play. And yeah, it's probably score effects, because it's sloppy because they were up 8-1. But at the same time, like, you got to clean things up a little bit, and that's a good learning point. And, but Philadelphia was a game that could have got away from them. It just thankfully it didn't. But that's exactly what you're talking about, James.
No, 100%. Well, let's move off the week that was. It was a great week. We're all excited about it. The week that will be is one that features four games for the Maple Leafs. We got the Blues, the Coyotes, the Golden Knights, and the Avalanche. So two teams that are premier teams, a team that doesn't really know where its home is, or its tail is for that matter. And then we have the St. Louis Blues, who we did just beat, but will be a team that will want to get back at us as well. So that'll be a fun game tomorrow. A little bit earlier one. I believe it's a 1 o'clock start for everyone on the Eastern time zone. But we'll go around the horn here right quick. Dylan, I'll let you start, because Clark, you are the reigning champion. You can go last. Dylan, what is the record?
Are these home games?
No, they are all away. Yes, all away.
Ooh, that's tough.
You can play a little bit more loosey-goosey on the road.
I say we win against St. Louis. We're friggin' notorious for losing against the Coyotes. So I'll say we lose against them in overtime. And then... You said Vegas, then Colorado?
Vegas and the old Colorado Avalanche, led by Cole Harbour's own Nathan MacKinnon.
I'm going to say we... Oh, this is so tough. I'm going to say we win against Vegas and lose against Colorado.
So what's your record for the week?
So 2-1-1.
All right. I will go 4-0. I think I'm going to take the Clarky approach this week. And the reason why I say that, I think the St. Louis Blues game is going to set the table for the week. Guys will be getting healthier. You will get a Morgan Riley back. We also will find out about that tomorrow morning, if he can play in tomorrow's game. Very nice little tidbit of information. But I do think that we flipped script. We beat the Coyotes. I think that is something that's going to happen. I think that we love to raise our game against better competition. So I think we will take it to the Golden Knights. And I do think the Colorado Avalanche, that's a spur in the Leafs side. You were up in that game against them earlier this season. You want to get that one back. So every game has something where the Leafs want to get something back over the other team. So I'm thinking 4-0, and I think we're going to see a couple more Hatties in there. I think we got our Carter Verhaeghe boys, Mr. McMahon. I see that little post there by Dilly. So Clark, I took your 4-0. What are you rolling with, bud?
The James Roberts special, 4-0. That's your call. I'm going to go 1-1-1-1. A win, a loss, an overtime loss, and a shootout loss. I think this is a really
interesting
week. Yeah, they're gonna sweep the board. I think they're going to beat St. Louis. Like you said, Dylan, they have a really weird way of losing to Arizona. I think that'll be a shootout, and something weird will happen. I think they're going to straight up lose to Vegas, and I think they're going to take Colorado to overtime in like a comeback effort, but it won't be a pretty one. It'll be a sloppy one. It'll be like 5-5 and going in overtime or something like that. The reason I say that is, again, this is a tough week. It's a very tough trip. If you think about it, you're going from St. Louis, which is the southeast, sort of south central, to Arizona, which is the southwest, then all the way to, well, Vegas isn't that far, and then Colorado. So like, you're doing a big loop. It's going to be a big week, tough opponents in their own barns, not necessarily the hardest ones early in the week, but you get later in that week, it's going to be a dogfight for these guys. Now, what I will say is that you will get Morgan Riley back, hopefully at some point during this trip. Well, you will at some point. But you're also going to get a Mark Giordano that I really feel like is going to be at another level because of what this whole thing with his dad went.
Yeah.
He's gone through. I think you're going to see not a re-energized Mark Giordano, but you're going to see a very determined Mark Giordano. And I think that's going to be a big piece of him coming back. He'll have had a couple of days off here. So it might take him a minute to get back into things. It's probably won't. He's a vet. He knows what he's doing. But I think he's going to be a very determined player going forward, which will be good. But at the same time, I think that there are some flaws to this team that, like James kind of just mentioned it with the giveaways and some of the sloppiness, that Vegas and Colorado just might be too much right now. But it might also, and this is what I kind of said last week with my 3-0 prediction, it might also push the management to make a move a little bit sooner than later. So I'm going to say my official answer, long story short, 1-1, 1-1.
So next week, it won't be all hail Clark. It'll be damn it, Clark, if you get it right. So
that would be something. If I get this right, that's going to be something.
For sure.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, buddy.
I was going to touch on the Geo thing. I think that you'll see probably a similar game to what Martin St. Louis had when his mother passed away.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. Well, thoughts are with Gio and his family. It's a tough one right now. Really? Never easy, especially when it's unexpected. It's even worse. So thoughts are with Gio. Can't wait for him to get back and around the boys and lift his spirits a little bit. But that is the week that will be for the Maple Leafs. The GBU, let's snap this one around quickly. They're good for the Maple Leafs this week. They were able to win without Morgan Riley. Yeah. They were able to elevate guys' minutes, and they did not look too out of place, not like Cam Jansen said earlier today. By the way, go check that one out. Good little tidbit show. You know, once you start rolling with these guys a little deeper and a little longer, the warts will start to show for some of these guys. But right now, for me, the good is winning without Mo. Clark, what's your good?
I feel like Dylan might go one way, so I'm going to go another way with this one. My good is Ryan Reeves. And the reason I say that is because this is the Ryan Reeves that we all wanted at the beginning of the season. In those first couple of games, we all thought, okay, this is a big piece for us to get. We haven't had a guy like this in a while. He went away for a really long time, and now he's back. And he got to play a ton against the Ducks because they didn't want to put Matthews or Nylander or Marner on the ice for obvious reasons. There was some shenaniganery going on. I don't know if you guys noticed. But Ryan Reeves went out there, and he was, I think you said it with Cam Jansen, James, in your episode with Cam. He was that policeman out there. He wasn't being stupid, but he was going out there and making sure everybody knew he was there. And that if anything did go down, he was going to be the first one there. And it didn't exactly happen where he had to throw any fisticuffs or anything, but you could definitely see his presence was being felt out there. And my gosh, did Radko Gudas look like he had no interest in being on the ice during the end of that game. He looked every time he was out there, he was looking around. He was making sure he knew who was out on the ice. He was thrown off. And that's Radko Gudas we're talking about, let alone everybody else on the Ducks. I mean, it was a bad enough game goal-wise where they were just embarrassed, I'm sure. But I feel like you could tell that the physical imposition of Ryan Reeves, but not only him, Simone Benoit was laying hits all night. Jake McCabe was looking great all night. And a bunch of the other role guys were out there. Domi got in a fight, obviously, with Radko Gudas, and he was kind of throwing his self around a little bit as well. So I feel like the physical nature of this team showed themselves against the Ducks. And I think that all stemmed, and this is what we all hoped it would, stemmed from Ryan Reeves kind of just going out there and being like, I could fight any of you right now, but none of you want to fight me. And that's his job. And that's where, you know, in a game like that, he's very important. So I'm going to go just for this week, the good was Ryan Reeves.
You know, I have a few in my head for thoughts, but I'm going to go with Bert finally getting the monkey off his back.
Oh, okay.
That's a good one. I like that.
James talked about it last episode with Ducks and Pucks. we all kind of figured that Matthews was just waiting for Bert to move his stick in the right direction. And he was just banking that thing off him so that the monkey was off his back. So that's my good this week, because that was a key offseason move. And I think he needs to get moving sooner rather than later in order for him to save his spot come deadline time.
No, hey, listen, I'm glad that Mr. Bertuzzi scored his goal and got that monkey off his back. And Matthews was making sure that happened. Again, the evolution of Austin Matthews, the leader. Love it. Chef's kiss. The bad for me, giveaways. That's it. I have nothing else to say. I've already talked on it. That's the bad. Dilly, what's your bad for the week?
Yeah, I would have to say the giveaways.
Clarky.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rare week where I don't think I really have a bad. I think every aspect of the team generally was pretty good throughout the week. The only thing I would say is that little blip against the Flyers, kind of like we talked about earlier in the show, where they had a 3-1 lead and they let them come back into it and almost let it slip away entirely. So I think that's it. Just kind of the foot on the gas pedal, the foot on the throat kind of mentality. Slipped a little bit there, but at the same time, it was a really good week, so I don't have a whole lot of bad to say, really.
The other thing is the ugly, and again, I don't have an ugly this week. I think everything that could fall into place fell into place nicely. Yeah. So I have no ugly. Do you guys have an ugly?
Not one to my mind.
Not overly. I'm going to be honest, not really. You know, the only thing I could say is just the injuries to the defensemen. William Legison got hurt. Morgan Riley's obviously out already. And you saw some other guys get banged up pretty good. So, like, the fact that we might see I see him later in the menu board there, so maybe I won't go into it too much. But I'm just going to say the ugly is just the injuries to the defensemen and the defenseman situation right now. But we got 3 wins with it. So, at the same time, maybe it wasn't so ugly.
No, definitely. All right, so we'll move off of the GBU. But something we move on to is our friends over at DraftKings. They partnered up with the Hockey Podcast Network. And we all know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can get $5 and turn it into $200 instantly in bonus bets. So if you want to go bet on the Leafs and the Ducks, or the Leafs and the Kings, or the Leafs and anybody who they're playing this week, get in there and get it done by downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill and Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bet set to expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved. So get in there, get your bets in, get done, move it along, and have some fun with DraftKings and the promo code THPN. Someone who had some fun last night, and I had a little bit of an issue with it, was William Nylander. He scored his 500th point, and we see how puck hungry a lot of these guys are for first goals, first assists, first points, milestone pucks for each other. No one really chased down the Willie Nylander puck for 500. Maybe it wasn't something that was well known on the bench, because obviously he was a couple points back earlier in the night, got the 2 points with that snipe, went to 500. Not nitpicking it, but I'm just saying the boys should have picked that puck up and made sure Willie had it. I think it did actually make its way to the penalty box, so it went back into the cooler. Hopefully they got the right one. But boys, Willie, 500 points. Beauty. A lot of people still crapping on Willie, but I love what he brings to this squad, man. Any thoughts there, Dylan, on Willie in 500?
You know, honestly, I think that after it's all said and done, after his career, I think he might be one of the greatest Swedish players on this team ever to play. He's just the overall pro's pro, in my opinion. He comes in every day, works hard, and, you know, tries to make everybody around him better. And you know what? He does it with a smile on his face, and I couldn't ask for anything more out of somebody on a team that I love to watch play. You know, he fought very, very hard for the contract that he got. So I think that the 500 points is well-deserving.
Clarkie.
Yeah. So, you know what I was thinking of? It was the Leafs. It was a home game. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, when it's a home game, every goal puck, they actually take and like collect it or sell it as a collector's item. I'm pretty sure at Leafs home games. So like, I think if you go online and you go to like the Leafs store, like the Leafs, I don't know how, where it is exactly, but I think you can buy like every goal puck that's scored at a home game.
Curtis from Alberta pretty much owns the store right now.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Just ask Curtis. He'll tell you. So I'm pretty sure that they would have taken that puck. And then once they realized it, I'm sure they got it to Willie. I didn't see anything online, like pictures of it.
I saw him.
Yeah.
They did do it.
Beast.
Right. You're right. I did see that now that you mention it. So
his nice chest hair here. And
yeah, that's why now that you mention it, I remember it. Cause I remember looking at that and fawning over how good looking William Nylander is. Forget about that. So yeah, it's a great thing. And Dylan, like you said, not only is he going to be one of the best Swedish players, he's straight up at the end of this, he's going to be one of the best players of all time in terms of the Leafs franchise. All these guys are at the moment. I mean, you already saw the numbers that Matthews is putting up in the comparisons, or not the comparisons, but the him skyrocketing up the list, passing Dave Keon right away. He's very, like, he's a season away from passing Matt Sundin.
72 goals away, I believe it is.
Yeah, and he's going to be 27 by the time that happens, and he's under contract for another 4 years. Like, this guy is going to be so far beyond Matt Sundin. It's going to be stupid. And Nylander's not that far off. Marner's pretty much there already as well, in terms of points at least. So these guys, we are currently watching history at the moment. This is going to be one of those things that, like, you know the quote from The Office, you know, I wish you knew that you were in the glory days before you were out of them.
Yeah,
that is what we are literally doing it right now. And the hard part for me when I think about that is, man, we complain a lot. You know, not the three of us. I'm just talking about in general.
Oh, I know.
PlayStation, yeah.
And I've said this before on the show, but we are watching the best era of Leafs hockey in probably 30, 40 years, and we aren't even appreciative of it. We are actually, we complain more than anything. Though, you know, the early 2000s, late 90s, of course, that for James, you and I, Dylan, you weren't even alive. So get out of here with that garbage. But, you know, for me and James, that was a very golden era for us, and that was a good era. But if you look at the success and the individual numbers that these guys are putting up now, that era looks stupid. Like, this doesn't even look, it's not even that good. Now, I would take probably 8 or 9 of the guys that were on that era's teams and put them on this team over who we have now. But that's not to say that this isn't the best unprecedented Leafs era that has probably, I mean, happened at least since 67, knock on wood, and, you know, say Hail Marys for saying the number 67, but it's truly that time. We're in a golden era for the Maple Leafs organization, and by the end of it, we'll be telling our grandkids about how good Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and Mitch Marner were, and that's pretty cool. And Morgan Riley, and that's pretty cool to think about, you know, 30, 40 years from now.
No, it's pretty wild to think of that, man. I can't wait to one day be sitting in that rocking chair talking about Austin Matthews, 5 Stanley Cup rings with the Maple Leafs, and, you know, how his hand was weighed down by all those beautiful rings. It will happen, folks. Too many people now, I said it now 3 times today, too many people are saying the Leafs are due and the Leafs should win and the Leafs need to win. And so many people that were, even Cam said, he was poking fun at Leaf fans for how long, and now he's like, man, this fan base deserves it. It needs to happen. This needs to be figured out how to make it happen. So I'm pumped up for it, especially with guys like Matthews and stuff.
One thing I wanted to add before we move on to the next topic is this is the first guy to commit to this team long term, and he is officially, obviously, the one to have the biggest contract in Leafs history. So I did want to add that this 500 point points for Willie is going to get stretched beyond that in the 8 years to come.
Oh, yeah. No, we can't wait to watch Willie, man. Hey, man, I'm a wee Willie Nylander fan. I love him. I know a lot of people call him Marshmallow. What's up, Lucky? But I enjoy him, man. I enjoy what he brings. We've talked ad nauseum already about Matthews. How about we talk about maybe our version of Cardi Verhaeghe, and that's Mr. McMahon strutting his stuff, getting his thing done. Buddy getting a hat trick, Buddy scoring goals, almost got a double hat trick. Loving the fact that he is actually stepping up and releasing that shot. But it's funny, when you give a guy with his size some opportunity, he's making the most of it, man.
He eats it up for breakfast, man.
He's rolling, guys. And I love the fact that we have some guys in our system that are starting to pop. And we need that. And obviously, heading towards the trade deadline, it maybe shifts your focus to other things if your depth players start producing. And a guy like McMahon is doing so. A guy like Mr. Max Domi is doing so. I'd re-sign Domi right now.
Yep.
He's looking good in that two-hole right now, and he's looking good playing with Burt and Robertson. By the way, nice release, Robertson. Hello, son. Where's that been all season? Rocket that shot. But what do we think of McMahon and Domi here? For me, I'm just happy to see these guys starting to pop, starting to grab some momentum in the lineup. And really, it couldn't come at a better time when the team is sick and kind of battling what looks to be a lot of dinged up bodies. And if you can let him, Tavares, rest a couple games, or let, you know, maybe Matthews or Marner or whoever else is banged up sit, and a McMahon can ride, you know, for more minutes, or a Domi can elevate his game. Man, I'm excited to see what you guys can cook. Licking my fingers, man. Getting excited.
I say put Bobby McMahon in the top six, man. See what he can do with Matthews. I honestly want to see what he could do in the top six. He looked amazing out there against the Ducks. He was dipsy doodling, twisting and turning. He was ready for just about anything.
Funny thing that confidence does to a guy.
Of course. And I love that they did that little meme there. On socials. that was great. I think somebody said it on Twitter. This is like us. We gave up on Carter Verhaeghe, and this was the redemption of that. So I'm grateful that he has stepped it up in a key moment, and it couldn't have been a better time when injuries happen. As for Domi, I think that the last game was a prime example of what we're going to see in the playoffs. So I couldn't agree more with sign that man to an extension, because I think everybody in Leafs Nation knows that he wants to be here long-term. So why not sign the papers now?
I'm in. What do you think, Clarky?
Yeah, I think the fight against Gudas kind of settled it for me. And then him going after him kind of later in the game too. I think, like Dylan said, that just shows how much he wants to be here and how much he kind of loves his role here. I think I would love to see them sign him to an extension at some point here before too long. I still think he needs to shoot a little bit more and score some more goals, but that's another discussion altogether. It's just side note here. I got the NBA All-Star Game in the background, and man, does it make me appreciate how good the NHL All-Star Game is compared to the NBA All-Star Game. This is awful. Like, they're just walking around out there shooting from half court. Like, nobody's making any shots. They're just messing around. Like, it's kind of funny, but like, man, it's bad. I'm so glad the NHL All-Star Game, although they do dog it a little bit, at least they try to score at least a little bit. Anyways, total sidebar there. But yeah, no, I think it's great to see Bobby McMahon. Like, I heard the numbers. They said on the broadcast, he scored 24 goals as a rookie in the AHL, 21 goals last year. So, you know, the guy can pot the puck in the net, and he given a little bit more of an elevated status the last few games again, because like you said, given injuries and everything else that's going on, for him to step up and just wire some shots in has been great to see. And it's the secondary scoring. I've said it long and for a long time. I feel like the secondary scoring is a bigger issue than the defense and the goaltending on this team. And if they can get some internal secondary scoring, it's obviously going to save them some assets from going out and making an unnecessary trade if they don't have to get a guy. You know, there's a guy like Anthony Duclair that I've kind of been joking around that I feel like the Leafs should go get him, especially because he's on the Sharks and he's not that expensive money wise, and I think it'd be a decent fit if you put Duclair with Domi because they already have chemistry from years back. So he's kind of my, I'm not beating the drum necessarily, James, but I am kind of thinking about buying a drum set, if you know what I'm saying.
You're just ringing the bell over here.
Yeah, I'm thinking about buying a drum set for Anthony Duclair. But if you don't have to spend whatever it would take to get an Anthony Duclair, like if it's a Connor Timmins kind of package, you can save those guys, then that's obviously the preferred way to do it. I mean, they have the guys on board that they thought at the beginning of the year could have secondary scoring ability. So if they don't have to, that'd be great. Cali Yarncroke will be back, you know, within the next week or two.
That's one guy no one's talking about, by the way. That's going to be a big addition for this team.
Oh, huge. And I mean, he got 20 goals last year, right? I think he already had, did he not have 10 goals before he got injured this year?
13.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a huge, it's a huge addition, even though it's a third liner. That's a massive addition to this roster. So I'm looking at that as a way. Yanni Gord would look really good. I think he'd be way too expensive. We can get into that. We have to do a whole trade show, James.
There's one coming. It's brewing.
Yeah, but Yanni Gord would be amazing, but I think he would cost way more than we're willing to give up. And I don't know what his contract is, but I feel like there would have to be some crazy money tactics to go along with it.
I think it's 5-5, isn't it?
Yeah, so you'd have to, yeah, let's save that for the trade show.
We'll bring it to
that
trade show. We'll bring some names on the board. But the other thing is the Maple Leafs obviously need bodies right now. Just looking at our buddy Sam McKee's tweet, if there's any trades the Leafs want to polish off, they might want to get them done quickly. As the Leafs need bodies, they do call up, I'm just going to say Wi-Fi, like instead of Wi-Fi, like over in Montreal. I don't know how to say his name just yet. I will learn if I'm saying it wrong. It's not on purpose.
I think it's just Rafi, like Rafi.
Rafi, okay, there you go, Rafi. Yeah. Well, I will refine my speech on him very shortly. But he is a Benny-type player. He's no flash in the offensive side, but very good responsibly, can skate very well. This all by our boy Kyle Cushman, who was on earlier this season and talked him up. He's good with the body, good with the physicality. So really, I mean, if you can add another Benny to the bottom pair of this team, I'll take it right now, man. I'll enjoy the fact that maybe, you know, the big R coming in is going to be fun with Benny or McCabe or whoever he's playing with. But if he can stabilize, skate well, again, maybe you get to see something for the guy that you weren't really ready to bring up to the NHL level. But maybe if he gets here, maybe it's like Benoit when he got here, starts to play that game, blocks the shots, throws the hits, shows the skating. And then you look at it and say, man, maybe this is a piece that we can just work into our lineup and not have to go chasing another depth defenseman. And you focus on just what you need. You know, just we talked about secondary scoring a minute ago. Maybe.
Yeah, and I think the big thing, though, to remember with – I think it is Marshall Rafi, right? Marshall?
Yeah, Marshall, yeah. I have his thing up right now.
He's
MR,
up on
MR, there you go, mister.
He's up on emergency call, so I don't think that's going to be a very long-term thing. Like, it might be a one-game type of deal, especially because tomorrow's game is an afternoon game, so it's going to be a little bit unorthodox, I guess, for travel and for, you know, preparation and all that stuff. So – my guess is he's only going to be here until Morgan Riley's back, which could be Wednesday. And we only see maybe one game out of him. I would love it if he can come up, lay a couple of big hits against St. Louis and, you know, make an impact. And maybe he does. But my guess is that Sheldon Keefe is probably going to do what he usually does with emergency call-ups and basically give them like 3 minutes and it's not really let them see the ice is my guess. One thing I will say with that, and I think I'm going to give Sheldon Keefe a little bit of credit. And I kind of called this a couple weeks ago, is that Timothy Liljegren needed to step up. And I was ready to trade Timothy Liljegren. I think there's a quote.
He's another guy who listened to your call out very well.
Yes, I called him out, and he's been playing really well in the absence of Morgan Riley and getting more ice time with TJ Brody. The two of them have been playing quite well. Timothy Liljegren's been getting power play 1 minutes, which, I mean, it hasn't been amazing, but he also hasn't made too many mistakes. It's been a pretty good overall, I will say. And you know what? He's maybe not elevated his status to like a must keep, but I definitely either his trade value has gone up or he's at least gotten back into a lot of Leaf fans' good books over the last 4 or 5 games, I would say. So that's good to see from him. And we'll see how much more time he gets in this next game with all these other injuries and things going on with the team.
I just wanted to say one thing about Rafai. It is terrifying looking at somebody that is the exact height, the exact weight, and is legitimately born 4 days before you are, who is playing for the Leafs. I thought that was
so crazy. What you're saying is you're pulling for this young man.
Yes, I'm pulling for him because we are, everything's the same for the, for us.
Before we move on to our last point, it's not about the Leafs, but it's just someone about a former Leaf. I want to say this, the Leafs are rolling five forwards on the power play group. And there was a funny joke, I think it was Kevin Papetti, saying it was actually four forwards and one defenseman, as the Leafs have a new defenseman. His name's Mitch Marner, number 16, as he played defense last night for the Leafs. But Bertuzzi, something, Clark, that I said to you about Bertuzzi, get him on that power play one unit and park his butt in front of that net. Yeah. And I really think he'll be a disruptor. They're going to go with that. That's going to happen.
And this is the time to do it because obviously with Morgan Rielly out, and like I said, Liljegren was playing power play one and that's not his normal spot. I mean, again, he wasn't bad, but I don't know. I'm not going to say it was great. He did okay, but this is the time to do it. Try it for a game. One game, let John Tavares not have to just be the net front guy because he's so good as the bumper. And we saw it for a couple years there when he wasn't the net front guy and they had whoever else out there. But Tavares in the slot scored so many goals in those first couple years that he was with the team. And there's no denying that he is very good at that spot. So if you get him there, you put Marner at the point probably, and then you have Nylander on one flank, Matthews on the other flank, and Bertuzzi's just causing chaos. I think that's a pretty good recipe. The problem is that when Morgan Rielly comes back, they're probably going to put him back out there. And then you're going to put John Tavares back in the net front. And he's okay at the net front. I think if I'm not mistaken, he might actually lead the team in power play goals.
Break up the power play units.
Right. But that's the other thing is that if you want these other guys to start getting a couple of goals here and there, if you want that secondary scoring to start going, you got to give them opportunities to do it. You can't just
park them on the bench. Tavares, McMahon, Robertson, Liljegren, and Domi sound? Doesn't sound too bad to me as a second PP unit, or even Cali Yarncroke when he comes back. But
yeah, and you always have the option. You always have the option to go back to your monster unit if you need to. But there's no harm in trying this for a little bit. And as the kind of the buffer zone of having Bertuzzi out there because Riley's not, I think that's a good experiment to just kind of get another look. I mean, he scored a goal last game. The power play scored a couple of goals against – it was the Ducks. And that game, you can say what you want about that game. But Bertuzzi still got a goal, and he still looked pretty good for most of the night. So give him a chance for a game against St. Louis and see where it goes.
Build some confidence for sure. Go ahead.
Sorry. He even hit the post that game too.
Yes, he did. And you can hear it ring. We all thought that it wasn't going to happen, finally did. The last thing here is just on Justin Hall. There was a lot of discourse this season about Justin Hall maybe a guy the Maple Leafs could use. I think it was even brought up on this show. He is now the seventh defenseman for the Detroit Red Wings at $3.4 million a season. Ladies and gentlemen, we got rid of the five-minute muffin for a reason. He had his show up in Detroit to start it off, looked pretty good. But now he is what we all thought he is. No knock on Justin Hall. I can't make the NHL. I can't play in the league. But we all know where he should be slotted. And I think Detroit overpaid. And I think they're going to regret that going forward. So Leaf fans, let me tell you, we dodged a bullet. But ladies and gentlemen, for my two friends who ride.
Oh, hold on. Give me a second on Justin Hall. He's my guy. You can't just not let me talk. Justin Hall, I defended that guy for like 3 years. You can't just do that and then end the show, James.
We're ending it.
I don't know if you saw my
tweet. Got a minute.
I don't know if you saw my tweet to Kevin Papetti, but I said, "Oh, it sounds like they'd retain half and give him up for a fifth rounder." I think he would look great as the Leaf second pair right defenseman this year. I think just get him back on the team. Oh, you can end the show at any time. I'm just going to keep talking. Get him back on the team. He'd fit in
and
great.
Folks.
They need some penalty kill help. He'd be cheap. You get him retained. It'd be great.
Benny in the Leafs, baby. Benny in the Leafs.
Imagine Ben Juan Hall in the third pair. I love it. Get the Leafs, get him back.
Get out
back.
Of here.
The all old 2-3.
I'm hitting my own mic. I'm cutting myself off.
We're gonna
all right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we appreciate you hanging out with us on Offside Hockey Talk. Make sure you check out all the channels. Make sure you follow my guy, Clark Monroe. Make sure you follow Dylan Fournier. But ladies and gentlemen, until the midweek show, this is Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey, we come to talk.